Okay, so I have a short interview to share with Kareem McDonald today. To be completely honest, after we finished, I stopped recording, but we kept on talking for about 45 minutes. I wish I recorded that conversation as well because it included a lot of great content. It was just two young head coaches talking about everything that we've learned so far, what we continue to learn, and how much there is still left to learn. But nonetheless, in this interview, there is still a lot of great content, a lot of great content surrounding his journey. And also, we did touch on things that he's learned and just the overall process of rebuilding a program and being a coach at such a young age. So let's go ahead and roll it back and listen to the head coach of Green River College, Kareem McDonald. So tell me how you got into coaching and especially at such a young age.
So I originally didn't think I was going to coach, I think at a young age. And my dad actually saw me coach at like one of our kids camps when I was in high school. And he said, you might actually have a knack for this. So in the senior year, I started to coach a sixth grade team, and we split the team in half because we were just part of my AU team at the time. And then it kind of just took off from there. So I was about 17 when I graduated. So I just really loved it. It was a passion of mine. I loved being on the weekends with the kids and trying to help them out. So it just happened kind of organically. I was playing one on one court at one point, then I'd sprint over to the next court and start coaching.
Wow, really? So you'd have your own practice within coaching another practice?
Yeah, so I would go from like 7 to 8, like 7 to 8:30. I would coach a practice, and 8:30 to like 10, I would practice myself. And then after that, on weekends, I'd have a schedule where I'd play at 12, coach at 2, play at 4, and then I'd coach at 6. So it was pretty fun. I mean, it was like probably I should have enjoyed it a little bit more because it was cool because the kids got to see that I wasn't actually, you know how it is, like I wasn't just talking like, oh, close out with two hands, or hey, you should make the extra pass. It was one of those things where they actually got to see it. So it was a fun time.
That's awesome. So, what was your first assistant coaching job? And tell me what were some of the responsibilities that you had?
So my first coaching job that I had was at the high school level as a C team coach. And it was really based on development for my team. I took 17 that year, which it's unheard of to do that really, but we had so many kids that were like 5'11" and 6 foot that weren't part of the feeder program. So I was just trying to figure out lineups, trying to figure out what to do. And then when it came to varsity games, I took stats for rebounding. I took stats of what plays we were going to run. And it was a lot where I first got there. Like I did a couple scout games also. So I kind of did everything that a varsity coach would to a point on the coaching side of it. So I got to learn a lot of how to handle different type of game situations, how to talk to players in between everything. I would always be the first one to talk to our point guard, for instance. So I had guards the whole year. So anytime we did broke off and did skill development, I was with the guards, either working on pick and roll or catch and shoot. So I kind of bounced around everywhere. But for a C team coach, I mean, that's like the dream come true. Like a lot of C team coaches don't get to be part of like a lot of varsity decisions.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so then after you spent some time at the high school level, you became the interim head coach at Green River College, right?
Yes, I did.
How does that come about from being at the high school level, coaching a C team, then you're over at Tacoma High School, JV coach, and then you become interim head coach at the college level? Explain that to me.
So it's a funny story. So I was doing school while I was doing 3 years of like high school coaching, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna take a year off. And at the time when I came to Tahoma and coached, my coach left for another school. So at the time I was like, okay, I had to find somewhere else. So I took the JV job, and then I was like, okay, I really want to focus on school now because I kind of got my foot in the door. A couple coaches knew me, and then my first coach I was with got the Green River job on the men's side. So a couple things kind of fell into place, and I actually took the job right before season started at Green River. So it was kind of like I knew the coach, and they just needed someone to finish the season out strong because the last coach left due to a couple different reasons. And I mean, it just kind of worked out in the right place, right time. Like they asked me if I was coaching anyone. I said no. At the time, I was only coaching an eighth grade team. And at the time, it was a perfect fit. Like it just was, hey, like the athletic director didn't know that I was not on the high school scene at like as JV or varsity assistant. So it kind of just worked out perfectly that I knew the coach, I knew the director, and they just wanted me to finish the season. So I got really lucky in a situation.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That is definitely a unique situation, but really cool how it all came together. So now that you're at Green River and you're a young interim head coach, tell me what that was like.
It was a lot different. It was, I didn't have to do a lot of the planning of where we're going, making sure that the bus was on time. Like a lot of that stuff was done for me as a JV and as a C team coach. So kind of planning what time we're going to leave was a little bit different. So my assistant kind of helped me with that and trying to figure out little things, but it was nerve-wracking. I think there's a lot of different principles that go into college coaching and high school coaching. Like for me, it was really awkward the first day because I'm like, okay, I've watched a lot of college games. And at the time, I was like, okay, so they're only going to move the ball every now and then. So I'm not going to say a lot on offense. I'll talk a lot on defense because I know we'll be able to adjust. It kind of just took me by surprise. Like, I think after a while, I was fine, but it just handling the personalities day to day. We had a couple of kids that didn't come to practice or just didn't. It was kind of unorganized. So to kind of bring back, and the first day for practice, I had something called Culture Day where we just talked about everything that we needed to. So we had consistent meetings, which I didn't have to do in high school. So it was a lot on my plate watching film consistently. Like I would take like 2 hours a day and watch film to make sure, am I putting us in situations where I didn't have to do that as much, where I would probably just watch 1 quarter. So the load of being a head coach was a lot, and I didn't expect it, but I was fortunate to where the only thing I really had to work up was on the per diem and trying to figure out when the bus schedule was and games. So I really didn't have to a lot, but it was still more than what I was used to at the time.
Okay, so after you're the interim head coach, you leave Green River College and you become an assistant at the University of Puget Sound. And then you come back. So now you're at Green River again and you're in your second year as the head coach there. So tell me what's different now that you're there, you're not interim anymore. You are the head coach of the program going on to year two. How is it different from when you first got started as the head coach there?
So the difference is now I'm a lot wiser. I mean, I think that year that I was at the University of Puget Sound was probably the best thing for me. I mean, I did apply for the job. I didn't get it. And I think it's one of those things where I was really like heartbroken. I thought for sure that was going to be the job and I was going to get to move forward. But just the difference now is I'm a lot wiser. I ask a lot of questions and I kind of understand that at the end of the day, like it's my program. I get to run it and like it hasn't had success in a long time. And it just grew me up so fast. And now I know what to expect. And obviously, yeah, you know, like you don't know what to expect, but you have an idea of how you're going to handle situations. So that year for me really just took me off to a whole nother level. And I just learned so much and asked so many questions and realized that, like, at the time being, I would like to say I was borderline, like, okay, I definitely know how to coach at the college level, I can get a good job. You know, and when I coming back, it's like, okay, I get to start from scratch, get to be very humble about it and kind of get to a new beginning. So it was exciting.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've learned from making the jump from the high school level to the college level, it sounds like me and you are have very similar career journeys, but it's I would say the biggest thing that I quickly had to learn and learn fast was that you really need to have to adapt quickly, like just quicker than you'd ever imagine. You could walk into onto campus with a your day planned, how everything is going to go, and before you know it, you know, a kid rolled their ankle after practice yesterday that you didn't know about, or a kid has this going on, and all of a sudden you have to change everything. You might just things happen so drastically fast. And as an assistant coach, number one, that's not your problem. Like, you don't have to, you're not the one responsible for, okay, how do we adapt to this? You just go with whatever your head coach says. And then at the high school level, you have to adapt, but it's not the same as what when you're dealing with adults that have jobs or have, you know, whatever they have going on. So I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned, among other things that I've learned and continue to learn. But yeah, that's definitely the
Yeah,
biggest.
and to kind of piggyback on that, like I think when I was the interim head coach, like, you know, at the end of the day, like in high school, like kids are gonna come to practice unless they have like a study hall or they have a test they have to take. And then I literally have to make a game plan around the fact that one of our girls has to go to Domino's to work, because at the end of the day, like, she didn't get a scholarship from the last coach. So I think adjusting to that, to where not knowing where everyone's going to be the time before, if they have an extracurricular activity or they have to do an extra assignment for a class before they get there, is like, it definitely was shocking, you know, because at the end of the day, like, high school kids, they have to go to practice, you know, they're right there at the gym or they're right there after a study hall. So I definitely agree with you. It is definitely something that is completely different when you're dealing with adults and they have to make these decisions. And, you know, the key to being successful as a college coach is everyone staying eligible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you pinpoint the most stressful moment that you've had in your career thus far?
Oh, I have a couple. I think the first one was actually when I was doing AAU the first couple years. And at the time, there was no direct way to handle parents. So I definitely got into one argument with a parent that I wish I probably would have handled or called my director at the time. So that was really stressful because I don't think I handled it the right way. I was really immature. I think I was 18 or 19 when it first happened. So I'm not talking like really professionally. I'm just really upset. And I didn't handle it well. So that was really stressful because I didn't know how I was going to react with our director, because the mom was really close to our program. So I kind of made a mistake on that. And then game time wise, I think the most stressful situation I was in, had to be my second game of being a C team coach. Like, it went to overtime and I had an idea of how to draw a couple plays up and how to handle things. But then I had a huge bench. So dealing with the fact that we had players that hadn't played the whole game, and I wasn't a guy that was just trying to win. I wanted everyone to develop and see what it was like in game situations. That was stressful because it's still about development. Like, you want everyone to get a shot to a point in C team and really develop them to hopefully become good JV or varsity basketball players. So that was really stressful. And I was kind of like, okay, what play do I draw? And I was just thrown to the fire really fast in both scenarios. So those were two of my most stressful moments with handling a parent and then handling a game time situation at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, and this is kind of it can be a difficult question to answer because there's so many rewarding factors in our profession, but can you pinpoint maybe you had a time where you questioned if this was the right career path for you, or if you were ready to be a head coach or whatever the case may be, but can you pinpoint if there was a turning point for you when you were like, no, I am in the right career. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
I have two. So I think the first thing was when I was a JV coach, I think the biggest thing that I learned was the guy that had hired me had really trusted what he saw when he coached me, because he had coached against me for 2 years. So I looked at it and I was like, okay, we were just talking about some X and O schemes. And at the time, like, I was on the borderline saying, okay, after this year, I'm going to have to do more school. I want to get this done so I can move on. And it was just the smallest adjustment. It was just a team was switching. We ran like a different offense at the time and our big was out on the perimeter. And from there, I just kind of told him at halftime, I said, why don't we just dive him every single time? Because then that creates the mismatch. So from there, that actually, it didn't win us a game, but it definitely gave us a turning point of 6 to 8 points, which is what we really needed in a playoff game to go forward. So that was one of those moments where I was like, okay, I'm starting to see it. I started to see the work they were putting in, the games I'm coaching, and little things I'm noticing that my head coach is doing. Like, I'm starting to see how I can improve our program slowly. So that was one of the biggest turning points for me. And right now, honestly, I've been coaching for now 8 years, and the biggest turning point right now that makes me really realize it is that, like, I have a lot of guys that have graduated that are sophomores in college that contact me right now. Like, it was just my dad's birthday yesterday and all of them contacted to, hey, thank you and your dad so much for everything that you guys have done for years. And they're moving on and getting real jobs now. So, I mean, and not a lot of coaches have this at this age where they're 25 and a lot of their players are 20, but they're moving on with their life. So this right now actually is such a big turning point for me, because at the beginning of my career, I really wanted to just go to the Hall of Fame. Like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be the best coach possible. I'm gonna learn everything and it's X's and O's and it's going to be this. I'm going to learn how to sub perfect. And slowly as I got older and got more mentors, I realized that this feeling that I have on the day to day where someone texts me, say, hey coach, how are you doing? Like, it's been so long. Or, hey coach, can you help me fill this application out? And like, they're growing up and they're becoming young men right now. So that's been the biggest thing to me right now, and saying, okay, I've done a good job. Cause you really don't know what's going on. Cause like, kind of like planting a flower, like you put a seed in, you water it, and you just kind of wait and you keep watering. You don't know what's going to become. And that's kind of how I figured out my relationships with the guys I have now. And it's been such a blessing to like have them call, have them contact and want to get lunch. And I think this is the second turning point right now in my career that said, okay, I did all the right things, or I was close to doing the right things at such a young age, and they all respected me for it, and they had a really good time.
That's great. Yeah, I always tell my players that the goal for me is that in 5 to 10 years, I have a ton of wedding invites.
Yes, big time. I definitely want to get to that point. I tell the girls I have now, it's like at the end of the day, like we're going to have good days and bad days, but I want the wedding invite. And that's the real key to coaching. Like the wins and losses will just come naturally. But at the end of the day, I need the wedding invite. Like, I want to be there. I want to be on the dance floor. Like, I'm not going to bust a lot of moves now, but come wedding day, it's going to happen.
Exactly. All right. So tell me about the culture at Green River College.
So the thing about it for me, and culture's thrown around a lot, and I don't really use culture as a staple for us. So if I was to tell you, I kind of use environment more than culture for us. So our environment is more based on the fact that we are allowing girls to be who they are as people, and then we'll get to the culture part of it. Like, I've seen a lot of like young men and young women like each other and be about culture, but the environment isn't good. Like they're talking trash to each other. They're trying to gain like an upper hand, or they're trying to show that they're alpha, or they're jealous because they're getting this. And for me, the Green River culture is all based about environment. Like, all the girls have heard the same thing. Like, we are going to be successful because we have to sacrifice. Whereas I think in the past, like, it's been about culture and doing this, but there hasn't been the right environment of saying, hey, on the day to day, I know I'm going to work hard, but at the end of the day, like, I'm not trying to hurt you to get a playing spot. I'm not trying to outplay you necessarily, get more minutes. I'm trying to outplay you to get you better. So I think the culture is around the environment of how successful can we be together. So I think I've kind of switched that. And I think that's been our staff's main focus, is how do we make it feel like, okay, this is a good feeling gym. And at the end of the day, even if it was a rough practice where we had a dive on the floor, where we had to contest shots, where there were losers and winners, they know that this is a safe environment to let out their feelings and to communicate and say, okay, practice went really well, or hey, practice didn't go well because we didn't do this. Instead of saying, hey, right now, like on the day to day, like the culture's going great. So that's kind of where I've flipped it, but it's a very positive one, if I was to say the least, not to be too wordy.
And how is it different from other schools that you've been at?
Oh man. So each one has been really good. I think the difference is between them is, one, it's based off of what I kind of believe in. So that's like been the biggest difference in, like, obviously the word choice of using environment instead of culture. But I've picked up from every single coach I've been with. Like Casey at University of Puget Sound was big family-oriented program, where we're just going to be honest with everyone and we're not going to cut any corners and we're just going to be very blunt. So I've taken that part of it. And I think that when I was at Tahoma, it was a gritty, like, bend but don't break. Like, every day is a battle type culture. And from my first coach, Godfrey Drake, he was super family oriented, but we were going to work and we're going to be honest, but we weren't afraid to show that we had emotion. So it's just been different in little pieces where I've taken each one and I filled in a gap where I felt like we could have improved. So I think the biggest difference was it turned into a fun, competitive gym instead of every day there was a lot of pressure. I feel like that's been the biggest difference between all three of my mentors, is I've put a little less pressure on certain things. I feel like nowadays, like, we've tried to learn at the right rate and learn and adjust to our players, where I felt like at times we didn't adjust as much. So I think it's just been different in the teaching format, if that kind of answers your question.
Yeah. Okay. So you touched on this a little bit as far as what you've learned from some mentors that you have, but can you get a little bit more specific as far as what nuggets you've taken away to your current program now?
Awesome. So I would say that each stop has really taught me a lot. Like, I've actually come back to one of my quotes from one of my AAU days was like, "Do what you love, love what you do." And I think that's a quote that connects everyone for me. So I think that's been probably the one of the biggest nuggets I've taken from my director more so. But like Casey was great at making sure like the recruiting was great. Like he made sure that we knew who we were trying to get. So that's one little nugget I took from him was how to communicate, how to talk to parents. And then from Tahoma, the biggest thing I got was bend but don't break. Like there are going to be days where it's tough. There's going to be games that it's tough. And he was so good at like influencing and telling players and getting them motivated to get ramped up to play. So those two nuggets have always stuck with me the most because it just speaks a lot about their character and how much of a grinder they are as coaches. You know, I mean, recruiting, as you know, like can be a lot of stress and a lot of times in a gym. You know, but it's just part of what we have to do. And then at practice, it's not always going to be pretty. There's going to be days where it's tough. It's going to be rough. Like a lot of box out drills might have to happen, but we can't break mentally. We have to stay strong. So those have been two of the biggest nuggets that have helped me off the court and on the court.
I love that. I especially like your expression of bend but don't break, because that is something we do so much of,
Yeah.
is bend. I love that. So I'm curious to know your opinion, and I know you're a young gun, but you're a young gun who is in a seat that a lot of people are trying to get to. So what do you think, if anything, is getting overlooked in these head coaching interviews?
You know, I think the most thing that gets overlooked is talking about experiences that you've had. It is not the age that matters of coaching, it's what you've experienced and how you've dealt with certain stuff. You know, I would tell you that I've had a lot of experiences in my like 3 or 4 years at the high school level where I felt like, okay, I took this down. I said, okay, I've handled this, or I would handle this differently. So in those interviews, like talking about like yourself and talking about like what you have done to improve a situation or what you would have done differently, like those are some things that even at a young age of 25, where I felt like I had enough experience on these little things that I could tell a story on, that really pushed me over the edge in my interview.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to add to that too. And speaking from my mind here, I feel like, there's a lot of supporters out there, but there's a lot of haters too. And no matter what, those haters are just never going to be satisfied. When they see someone gets hired, it's always, oh, but they didn't have, the same amount of experience that maybe this person, or they come from a winning program, but oh, they didn't win as much as this person, or they didn't even play basketball, or and it's like, just you weren't in the room, and there's obviously something about that person, why they got hired, whatever the case may be. And sometimes too, like, it is solely based on who you know. I mean, I know that people are human, and sometimes they hire who they like, so it's one of those things where you just don't know. So I just think there's too many haters out there. When people get hired, it's like, we're talking about the wrong things here, guys.
Yeah, no,
Just let it see, let it play out.
I've never understood why people aren't happy for everyone's success. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing. We all have different paths, you know, and like my buddies are starting to get into coaching now, and like they don't even bat an eye. Where I think as I was getting older, and like my second or third year, like I had whispers of, okay, well, if he decides to take a varsity job, I think people are going to give it to him. And I don't think that brought on a lot of like love from a lot of the JV coaches I've coached against, for instance, because they were trying to make their way up also. So it was just, I think that I was kind of oblivious to it at times because I was just minding my own business, just thinking, okay, we're all part of the same community. But like, there are a lot of people that just don't want to see you succeed because they feel like you haven't done enough. And I just don't think that matters. Like, you know, you could look at like Steve Nash, for instance, and I think Steve Nash is going to be really successful and he knows the game, but I don't think he has to go through a lot of hoops to be successful. Like, I think we just know that he knows. And like people, like you said, they don't know the background. Like Steve was with like Kevin and all of them when they were winning championships. Like he was at their gym. So he obviously learned a little bit, you know. So I definitely agree. Like, I just wish people would just enjoy people's success and really want the best for them instead of saying, hey, I can climb through this, or hey, you just got this job because you know this person.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I see it all the time. I see it all over Twitter. I hear it in daily conversation, and I'm just quite frankly sick of it. Let's wait till that person gets hired and just completely destroys the program or the organization before we start bashing them. Yeah. Even then though, like, whatever. Anyways, so what's the ultimate goal for you, coach?
Oh man, I got asked this actually yesterday. I do AAU as well, so I have a program with Team Levine and everything. So I'm not in for glamour. I definitely feel like there are such good coaches at the JUCO level, and there are really good coaches at Division One. And then, as you know, there's bad coaches at each level. So I'm not really in for the level. If I had a successful career here at Green River for 10 years and then I reevaluated, that's perfect. But the ultimate goal is to be successful and to, like how we talked about, like, be invited to the wedding. Like, that's all that is on my mind currently. I think if I'm a successful junior college coach, I'm doing the right thing, because college jobs don't grow on trees. And to have this job right now at 25, I'm very fortunate. So I think honestly right now, I just want to be where my feet are. I just want to be successful. I want to be a good college coach right now. And I think that's the only thing that's really been on my mind. So if I was here for a long time, I'm happy with it. Like, I'm a very homebody. Like, I'm from the area. I went to school here. It is just, it's been perfect. And I still talk to one of the winningest coach here, like at Green River. Like, I contact him. So for me, I just want to find a home. Like, I think that going back and forth between program, trying to find the right thing, isn't my personality type. So right now the ultimate goal is to be successful and, like, to really make sure that I send a lot of young women to different 4 years and to make sure they're successful in picking the right career that they love, not just because that's something they liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. I love your answer. And, you know, I could be wrong here, but I think that you get asked that question so much because you are young.
Yes.
And people see you as a head coach, 25 years old, and they think, oh, wow, by the time he's 35, 40, he's going to be coaching the NBA, you know, because he started so young. But I think also people don't get, like, hey, I'm good if we don't coach at the 4 year or the NBA level. Like, I like it here. I like my role here. And we have so much in common, you know. It's so funny. And I say that because you say, you know, you're from the area, you like where your feet are right now, you're focused on the now, you're not trying to get, like, this isn't a stepping stone for you right now. This is your home, and maybe things will change, but I'm the same way. You know, I'm from the area where I coach right now, went to school right down the street. So it's so funny how this podcast connects me with coaches, and especially coaches that I have a lot in common with. So, I have one more question for you. It's not on one of the questions that I sent you, but that's okay. Some of the questions I've already asked haven't been. What is your approach going into this year with your team?
Oh, you know, I think that my approach is going to be, obviously, I think the high school experience I've had is going to be super important, because we're going to have to implement a lot of stuff very fast. And I think the approach is right now is make sure we still can bond with one another through this and Zoom call as much as we can, try to get the hometown girls together if we can. And I think the approach really is based off of how ready can we be, and what can we get ready for the now, not instead of worrying about, okay, what workouts are they doing now? Like, as soon as we get together, like, we got to get going. So I think the goal is for us to be successful in a sense of practice time, getting shots up, getting adjusted to the college line, getting adjusted to playing help side really fast. And then from there, we just kind of keep doing our team bonds and do our readings together. So it's a little bit, as you know, it's a little bit of everywhere. Like, I don't know which way to exactly tackle, but I do feel like we're just going to have to make sure that we're bonded. We know what to expect. No surprises here. And, like, to make sure we pass and make sure we balance everything, because it's going to be difficult when it comes season time, when we're practicing every day and they have three classes they have to worry about and a homework load. That's a lot. So it's just got to make sure we're communicating, being honest. And I always tell the girls, you don't know what you don't know. So hopefully I've made the environment for them to be able to ask me questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, coach, for being on. I truly appreciate it. I really enjoyed today's conversation and hearing from another young head coach in the hot seat. So thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.